coming out, he's 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 coming out, it's there.
On and off since I was 18, yeah. And there's so many points in time when I'm like, so much time and energy wasted.
I think about that a lot.
Just pissing it all away.
Not even that, but it's like, I'm going to look for a job in 10 years and they're going to find some video of me doing stand-up. In like 3, I'm going to decide to quit. And they're like, do you do stand-up comedy? I'm like, no, that was like 10 years ago.
Here's actually a funny thing is...
They're like, well, you're not hired because you said really terrible things.
So on the phone interview, the CEO guy asked me, he was like, so how do you know Brendan? And I knew Brendan through stand-up comedy. But he was like, you guys went to school together or something? And he provided that. And so as opposed to being like, no, Brendan and I were vulgar stand-up comedians together and got blackout drunk all the time. Instead, I was like, oh, yeah, we know each other, you know, from the school and everything. And
that
then,
long pause.
And then,
that
well,
long
yeah, because it was this awkward thing because it raced through my head. And I was like, am I going to bring up stand-up comedy? And I was like, there's no need. And then I mentioned that to Brendan at some point after the interview. And he was like, well... He knows that we know each other through comedy, so now he knows that you're a liar. And I was like, all right, good start. I was like, cool. I was like, good. Setting the tone.
Yeah.
Because I was not going to be like, oh, we knew each other doing stand-up. And be like, yeah, tell me a joke. Over the phone? Yeah, he's like, mm-mm.
All right, 3 Jews and 2 Christians walk into a bar, eh?
Yeah, just tell him a super racist, not funny, like...
Do I get the job or not, bitch?
Oh, wait, let me get back. That's not part of the joke.
It wasn't, that was a character I
sorry.
Did called Guy Flubbing an Interview. But that's not me. That was a separate segment that was like a little skit that you got as a bonus part of this interview, but we can just... We're back on the clock now.
Yeah. Can we talk about
all of that? The last 3 minutes.
Can we talk about my skills in Excel next? Or?
The last 3 minutes were off the record. I'm just informing you we're back on the record.
How well I can use Microsoft Word. Can we talk about that?
Well.
Yeah, I can do that really well.
You want a word count? I can give you a word count.
All right, let's kick this off. 40. Right. What are we on? 43?
43.
Before we cheers, we should probably
we're
be
on
in agreement on
yeah.
what episode we're on.
We're calling it 43.
Cheers. Episode 43.
Yeah.
The Twilight episode.
Is it?
Well, I mean, Twilight Saga is on
Twilight
TV.
Twilight is playing in the green room. You know,
that's right.
It.
Green room is back this week, folks.
We've reinstated the green room.
Well, we knew who we were having on tonight. We're like, let's put that fucker in the green room. Because our guest tonight is,
well,
the fantastic and very blonde Chris Tate.
Woo!
Or no, is that what we call you? Or do you have a stage name? I'm so confused anymore.
Yeah, no, Chris, it's fine.
Okay.
She...
Don't confuse it with my internet presence.
And her male friend, her male companion.
This guy.
Chachi.
Frenemy of the show. And Chachi. Mr. Miles Harmony.
Yeah.
And that's where we were like, We gotta have the green room.
Let's put the green room back
over on the couch.
We need to try and have a little control.
Let's let him think about what happened the last nine
when
episodes
he won. When he won, and clearly
start your own podcast, Miles. That's all we're saying.
He also
people like you way more.
He obviously. Also he said that he was going to quit comedy and they won't let him. Community won't let
him. Yeah, they won't let him. We'll get into.
I've quietly just stopped showing up to all of them. Nobody's said a word. Hey, Nick, where you been? Yeah, I've not been approached.
Well, it's because you've had a podcast the whole time. I'm like, well, Nick's around.
He's around, sort of, yeah. But, you know, it's like I'm kind of exiting quietly, stand up. But I'm doing it quietly, and also, you know, clearly nobody's that.
Well, I think this is probably news to all of our listeners who have assumed you've been hitting the open mics two, three times
just
a week.
Just micing real hard, yeah.
Working hard on your comedy chops, and
now
you're telling them you haven't been.
I have not been.
And in fact, Ghostbee listeners, we have some breaking news.
It's big news. It's big news.
It's breaking.
It's breaking right now.
Yeah. Breaking's a bigger word than big.
Okay. Yeah.
Just letter wise.
We have some gargantuan news for you.
There you go.
That's a good Scrabble point
type
word. We are on the final five?
Final five episodes, or five ish. We'll just call it five ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're on the home stretch of Ghost Pee.
Mm hmm.
Because, not only because, but.
Not just because.
But I mean, it was like probably the thing. Well, we'll get into it, but. Maybe we should just say.
I'm moving away, folks. Moving away from Fort Collins.
Little Frodo's growing up, and he is leaving the Shire.
I've got
And he is venturing out into the unknown.
Yeah. I've got a quest in my mind.
What happened is he found a ring, and it spoke to him that he should take an enchanted journey.
To destroy that ring. It's very bizarre and abstract. There's also some old men. Floating around, telling me things. They wear a lot of rags.
Right? I lost the metaphor.
Yeah, I don't know. I just no. It's just I was just continuing the Lord of the Rings thing. My quest will take me down to Durango. And
so you're moving to Durango, Colorado, to take a new job, a new career path.
New career path.
It's very. Because the joke the whole time has been an accountant and a librarian are doing stand-up.
I am.
Started a podcast.
Yeah, I'm handing in my librarian crown.
And this might be a shock to a lot of our listeners, but you're not a librarian at heart. Like,
no. Also not technically, because you need a master's degree in library sciences, which I didn't get, which has actually gotten me denied job opportunities. And,
thanks a lot, Obama.
Yeah. Yeah, guy.
You know what I mean?
I think so.
Yeah.
And, so pursuing new ends.
Moving away, so, you and I, we should just, you know, we'll tell the whole story. We had been talking anyway. We wanted to do this podcast to do a, Fort Collins comedy, because the scene and just everything that's going on in Colorado with comedy is so, it's been so fun to be a part of, for one. It's been fun to, you know, meet this group of eclectic people, and we've tried to, like, have them on and hear their stories and talk about what their dreams are for comedy. Because, you know, whether they go anywhere or any of us go anywhere or not, it's really fun to do this stuff together.
Yeah.
It's a great little community.
Well, and we've
highlighted
we've
it pretty
known each
well.
Other about a year, and we decided very briefly into knowing each other, like, sure. Let's do a podcast.
If you go back and listen to, like, episode, I think even one or, you know, early on, we told the story about how we were like, once we decided we were going to do a podcast, after briefly meeting, I avoided talking to you and getting to know you, because I was like, no, let's just save it for the thing. We'll do the thing. So if you went back and listened to 43 episodes... You would hear this crazy journey of two dudes, like, meeting each other in the open mic scene in Colorado, and becoming friends, starting a podcast, moving in together.
It's pretty storybook.
Yeah.
A lot more vulgarity than, you know.
There was a lot. There was shitting. There was puking. There was swearing.
It's been the whole
game. There was possibly sex in bathrooms at some point. At some episode.
I forgot about that.
You didn't forget about it. You repressed it.
I repressed it, yeah.
It's different.
I've tried to forget about it, yeah. And so many exciting, glorious things that I was like, well, I should just cut ties, get the hell out of this town. Man. At least I'll have the memories, you know. And
so the question I want to ask is, did the Miles feud, and just the realization that, you know, everybody hates us.
Yeah.
Was that the straw that broke the camel's back, that you were like, I'm getting the fuck out of this town? Because they like Miles more than they like me.
Well, you know, I always like to think of it as that I am a camel whose back has been broken for several
many
years.
Times.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, like,
I see that.
I've just dragged myself around for many years. So it was more like, you know, kicking a camel while it's down. You know? And so that, amongst many other factors in my life, have told me that I should probably flee into the mountains and woods.
Right.
And that's, you know, Durango, it's like, I will still be a Coloradoan, but Durango
barely.
Is so far
right.
away that if you drove for that long in any other direction from Fort Collins, you would be out of Colorado.
We'd be in Dodge again.
Yeah.
It would be Dodge City.
Mm-hmm.
You're moving Dodge City distance away.
Yeah, but only into a nicer...
Well, yeah, come on.
Locale.
Well, pot's still legal there, so...
Right, yeah.
It has that going
for it. Pot's still legal there. I'm excited to move to Durango because I'm going to have to severely up my mustache game.
Really?
I was walking around a Saturday morning, and...
Damn, it's that kind of town.
It's like...
It's a mustache town.
It was like every fifth man walking down the street was
there.
Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
Every fifth man was Sam Elliott.
Do you see this mustache? I would...
I don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. So
this is like a 2-week mustache here.
Yeah. And I mean,
was
yeah,
it terrible?
I was like,
is it bad?
It's not good.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, yeah, not everybody can do it.
I can deal with not good. I mean, that's kind of my life story. It's like the West and Under story. It's not good.
Not good.
It's not bad. It's not good.
Not good. The West and Under story.
Just not quite there.
Not quite there.
Almost.
But you came up with a nice little hashtag for what our final
We're on the final parade, and we're gonna hashtag Ghost P Jeter Tour.
Mm-hmm.
Because like the great, I should say, Derek Jeter. Dude, I love that I can edit all
that
shit up.
Maybe it's Dieter Tour.
The Dieter Tour.
The Ghost P Dieter Tour.
The fuck is Dieter? Well, Wesley got really drunk one night, and he said. Jeter Derek? No. What is that?
Derek Dieter.
Derek Dieter?
Derek Dieter.
Yeah. Everybody, like, is just giving me pained looks on their faces. Like, God damn, you're struggling. This is like my comedy career. So I'm going to stand there just like a crowd of pained faces. Like, ugh.
Who all know and care about you,
yeah,
but
like,
are just like, oh.
You're trying. I can see
He's trying. He's trying.
That's the Western Under story. He's trying.
Fuck this, I'm trying.
Fuck this, I'm trying.
Fuck this,
I'm trying.
It
might be bad, but I'm going to try.
And that's what we've done for you good people for just about a year now.
So the next month or so is going to be the homecoming tour of Ghost P. And there may be some kind of podcast or... We have other things in the works. We'll just say it. We have other irons in the fire. I think that's a phrase people use.
Yep. Yeah.
Sketch. We've ventured into sketches.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fun time.
We've
fun
done
time.
A lot of good things. And the whole time we set out to try and feature and highlight the Fort Collins and Northern Colorado comedy scene. And, you know, we've done that. We've really achieved that. And we've had a blast. And we've gotten a lot of people to come drink away in an evening or an afternoon with us. And, yeah, it's just been...
Well, I think for me, as a fan of comedy, so I went to Comedy Works last night, saw Ari Shaffir and Steve Simone, and I've just been a huge fan of Ari and listened to his podcast for a few years and gone and seen him a few times, and just like sitting there watching this is like, oh, I've seen this guy progress. Like, I've always been a huge fan of his podcast. Because I had listened to it for a long time before I ever heard a stand-up, like, set or show or anything, right? And so, from the first time I even saw him from stand-up, so podcast for probably 2 years, then I saw him do stand-up, And then a year later, it's like, holy shit, dude, I've seen this guy progress, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm just such a big fan of comedy. And even, like, Steve Simone opening up, I'd never heard his comedy. I'd heard him on a few podcasts. I was like, holy shit, dude. Just to see the level that people are at. And I think what we've done in this first year is see what you do in your first few years as a, mm-hmm. as just doing open mics and shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's been such a, like, surreal experience of...
Well, and collecting all sorts of various people's experiences as well. Yeah. I mean, it's just hearing...
I've been very curious about how everybody's got their
diverse
start.
Diverse community, right. You know, of all of these fucking weirdos that choose, for some reason, to do open mic comedy.
And they've all been weirdos, and you should go listen to all of them. Just take a week off work.
It's a weird thing, just because, yeah, you can listen to our entire last year.
Yeah, a year. It's like a diary.
Yeah.
We'll probably get some
diary
necklaces, yeah. You know, that have, like, hearts that are broken down the middle, and they'll match up, or mm-hmm. something. We'll do something
so
really...
So whenever I come back up here, just with a much bigger mustache and everything, we can still lock the hearts
I swear in. To God, if your mustache curls into your mouth anymore... I won't be able to do a podcast with you. I just can't watch you chew on your mustache while you talk.
I trimmed it away before I drove.
You need
down
to wax it out. You know, get like a Jason, Captain Jason little wax.
That's his thing.
That's a lot of people's thing.
I know.
He doesn't own waxing his mustache.
No. Otherwise, he'd probably have a lot of money.
If he invented that.
He patented it.
All right, before we bring our guests on, so we've blown people's mind with some news. We also have to blow some people's minds with a confession.
Yeah.
You and I committed a crime within the last 7 days.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So what's the statute of limitation on that?
I mean...
2.5 years.
Okay.
So...
Thanks. Yeah.
We're
Thanks,
hoping
Miles.
That within 2.5 years, no one hears the story of us pulling a little B&E.
We didn't B. We just E'd.
There was no B. It was more E.
It was all E.
All right.
It was all E.
We entered a house that was being built because we got too fucked up at the bar that was a block away from our house to drive home.
Oh, well, and the great thing is that we didn't even get too drunk. We ran into a stranger who offered us a hit off of one of those fancy hash pens.
And I have a friend who used to work with who uses those regularly.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt very like, oh, I know how to use this.
And
I felt very knowledgeable. And they were like, trade a cigarette for a hit off this pen? I was like, well, certainly
no,
good
why
fellas.
Not? Why yeah. not? And so we did, and then we went back into the bar.
Well, we'd spent like 2 hours enjoying a cover band that was playing like
right.
Journey,
oh, God,
Led Zeppelin,
great.
Marcy Playground. It was like this eclectic 90s.
So we went there, and we were on like the final beer. It was like... Beer four
right.
or something.
Let's have a cigarette, get one more beer, walk it home, or like head home.
Yeah.
Go out.
And basically, though, so we get there and then we're like, oh, well, let's go finish the beer closer to the band. Let's go listen to the band. We
well, I thought that would help.
Find a little
the feelings
table.
I was having.
And then, I started to get so exceedingly high. And at some point, I look at my drink and I'm like, I'm not going to finish it, but sometimes Weston teases me when I get way too high at things. So I'm just going to stand here really calm, really calm and really easy, and I'll just wait for him to finish, and then
I was trying to power through my beer. So at the same time, I was trying to power through my beer.
I mean, yeah,
at
I was
one
like,
point,
I
looked at
it,
you.
I was like, I'm too high.
We'd hit kind of like a lull, and I was like, dude, let's walk home. I can't finish this beer.
I was, and then
and
I was
like,
just
all right,
like,
let's go.
Yes, I was like, yes, let's go. And, you know, I was thinking as soon as you said that, I was like, thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God. I can just go home. So we start to walk home. And we walk past this house that's under construction. Yeah, and the first time...
A whole cul-de-sac.
First time... Well, yeah, it's this whole construction area. Yeah. It's going to be a subdivision. Yeah.
So this is like a model
months.
Home, which is
mm-hmm.
pretty big. Big structure.
It was very nice looking.
Yeah.
And, so we see it, and we're kind of walking around this developed area, neighborhood, and we see it. At first, we're like, oh, well, it'd be so easy to go inside and check out that house. And it's like, no, let's not do that. We're adults.
Yeah,
you know?
Come on.
It'd be silly.
Let's not risk
it'd be silly.
Getting in trouble.
So we walk another loop around.
Just looking at the stars. It's kind of dark out, smoking
mm-hmm.
a cigarette. just having a bro moment.
Yeah.
Reflecting.
Just drawing out a little bit.
Right? Passed back by the house.
Yeah, we passed the house again. Like, and this time it was like, we gotta go in. Yeah, it's been too special. It's been a beautiful... And like,
we have to break into this house. Yeah.
Well, and again, we didn't be. We just eat. There's no doors, no windows. Oh, yeah.
All week I've been thinking about...
We could have
break into somebody's house.
We could have beat so hard. Like, we could have just...
I'm gonna break into this house next door. I think they moved out.
Yeah, let's just go on a spree.
And just walk
let's just
in,
do
walk
a break in.
Why
spree.
Not?
Yeah, fuck it.
Hashtag Ghost P. Jeter tour. Right there. Just start breaking into
just
houses.
Breaking into fucking houses. And, you know, we don't take anything, we don't disturb anything. We just
you
checking out the
your
place.
Feet before
I wiped my
in.
Feet off before I walked in. Yeah.
Into a, it's all made out of
an
like plywood at this
wooden
point.
Plywood home. But I was like trying to really respectfully.
It's a really nice home.
It looks great.
I mean,
we would tell you the neighborhood, but we can't.
It's near where we live.
Out of legality issues. But you should be so lucky to get a home there.
Feels good to get that off our chest.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? I've been carrying around all week. Hopefully we won't break anything else tonight.
Yeah, it would be bad because we just talked about it on the podcast.
We'll have to release it.
And if so,
we'll
there's
see.
Just a string of break-ins around the neighborhood. That was
good. Ghost me, guys.
They did it. They did it. I listened to this podcast.
Are we ready to bring our
guests
on?
We're ready.
All right.
Let's bring them on. Miles and Chris.
Guys, hurry up. People are waiting.
Fuck you.
They want to know.
Jesus, Miles.
They want to know the truth.
You already won. You already beat us, Miles.
Are you guys recording with your phone?
No.
Dude, don't ruin
Shut
the magic.
Up.
Don't ruin the magic.
God. I hate this guy. Oh.
Fair enough.
We if you're listening home, you might remember such episodes as...
I forget what they were called.
In the Submarine with Mitch Jones.
Oh, yeah.
We broadcast live because we tried to use microphones like we were... And it didn't work well, so...
Not great.
You'll be impressed.
Okay.
How well this sounds.
Okay.
Look at his face just prepared to not be impressed. Like, he's already decided.
I'm an asshole.
This is why people hate us over you.
It's because
it's
you
the way you look
make,
at us.
Yeah. You have no idea how scathing he is. Listeners, no idea.
He might seem nice. Let's talk to our real guest, our first timer. God, stealing the spotlight, not saying a word. We just keep talking at him and he hasn't said a word. He just smiles and...
Oh, I hate him. He antagonizes me so well. Oh, well, Chris, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing in Chachi.
Yes, get ready for your most boring episode ever.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a challenge.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've done that's a great question she's
posed. We've
done
42 of these fuckers. Hey, Ghostbee listeners, tell us for our
Who's
closing out tour, which the most boring episode you ever had to listen to was. And then we'll repost that one.
Who's your vote, Bea?
I will do that off.
No, we're dishing, dude. This is a Jeter tour. We're dishing. This is all behind the scenes. Roommate Will's now standing and throwing balls in the first
episode.
He
was not doing that at the beginning. No. Do you guys remember that clever conceit when we just called him our roommate and attributed all of his babyish actions to just a prick roommate? And then the plot thickened. It turned out that he was an infant, and he gained a lot more leeway.
It's always dangerous territory to ask a guest if they've listened to one of the episodes.
Yeah.
Because none of them
you
have.
You guys don't have to.
No. We're glad you haven't.
Yeah.
You'd think
less. Of
course
I have.
Miles,
Why
the sixth
like that
I Miles.
Totally...
See? Miles does that. He's a podcast derailer. Just quietly. Oh.
So you guys were on a show together. You both did stand-up last night, right?
Both did stand-up. Yeah, we've done two shows together now.
Mr. Mutt Rogers, friend of the podcast,
yeah,
has his show has come back.
Awesome.
Last night was the first one at Wild Boar.
Yep.
Yeah. Series two.
It's a coffee shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's the basement of the coffee shop.
I did it. One, I did it last year. I did. I did a Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Show.
Come on, I've done it too. I've done it too.
Yeah, Ryan Nowell was on that one too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mutt, actually, there was a Denver comic who had been bugging Mutt all the time. Well, I'm headlining, right? I'm headlining. And Mutt hadn't established the order. And then I showed up, and Mutt was like, you're headlining. Because the Denver comic has been asking me too much and is certain that he's entitled to headline. And that's upset me. And so you've got the spot. And I was like, thank you.
Thank
for
you.
Making me the target. This odd animosity between me and this guy from Denver I've never met. But the show went great, and that guy featured, and he had a great set. But he asked me at some point, he was like, so you've been doing comedy long? I was like, oh, I'm just getting back into it. I actually haven't done it for like 3-4 months. And he got this look on his face. And he was like, 3-4 months? And I was like, huh, I wonder why that happened. And then later it was revealed to me that he'd been snubbed the headline spot for me.
And now him and Dan Jones are no longer friends. Like,
thing oh, happened. Danny.
That unnamed comic. How'd it go
unknown
last night?
Comic.
Awesome. Okay. It was a great crowd.
Were they drunk?
They had to have been.
Really?
Well, yeah.
I mean, to pay attention to stand-up comedy, don't you have to be drunk?
It's hard to get drunk there, because they just serve, like, cans of beer.
Yeah, but
fancy
like,
beer.
I mean, not draft. Everybody's a goddamn drunkie. And
like who? Why do you look at me when you say that? Like, I drink all the time? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe.
You are taking so many pot shots. At us about
he's so
the
cocky
amount of
coming back on, isn't
we,
he?
Yeah,
so
I cannot believe whatever happened to that humble pilot. That was why you were the funny person to fight with. See, what you don't know, Ghost P listeners, is that when you all sided with Miles, you just fed a giant hubris monster.
Yeah.
And so now he just believes he can come in here and just bully us. And he can. That's the worst part.
All right, so on a scale from like one, from 9 to 10, how much better did you do than Miles last night?
On a scale of 9 to 10?
9 to 10.
Yeah, she did a fucking 11.
I'd have to go 9 then.
Well, 10 definitely, and then staying 11, so we'll take the average.
Yeah, we'll bounce that out.
10 times better.
10 times better, wow.
Did
is
you
that like a pH scale or every point is like so much more?
It's exponential.
I think the pH scale is a woman's thing, isn't it?
No, pH is one
yeah,
to
fresh.
Yeah, it's always fresh. On the
seven
the
is seven one. Is neutral.
Yeah, and then 14 is acidic.
I think at this point, what everybody's wondering that's listening yeah. is what is your vagina's pH scale?
Wow. We already
yeah,
got that.
I'm going to give it a 7.4.
7.4.
That's
not bad.
Okay, just
yeah.
A little tart.
I think that's the...
That's
a little...
Athletic.
That's the most favorable of all our female guests thus far, isn't it? Like pH scale? We've
I
asked
mean,
that of all of our
yeah,
females.
We like
so
to
don't
check
feel weird
everybody.
About it. Yeah, don't feel weird about it.
It's not weird. It's definitely not
not even a little bit.
Let me just weird. Tell you, we've had a lot of basic bitches on this show. No, and it was all set up for that! We planned that all week. Oh my god.
Look out, because I've got an acidic tongue.
Mm. What does that mean? What does that involve?
Well, I can't show you.
Well, I'm not. That wasn't. This isn't a visual format, the podcast, so just describe.
You can't.
Describe your tart tongue.
Paint a picture with words. Wow.
I told you, this is going to be a
that was the picture.
Okay, that was a good picture. If you could have seen the sternness on her face, when she's just like, I'm not painting a picture with words.
I refuse. Chachi, paint a picture.
Chachi, cool. Ask
all
Miles
over the table.
About my acidic tongue.
Miles, let's get into the acidic tongue. Chris, how long have you been doing comedy?
Stand-up comedy. Almost 2 years.
And you did sketch before that?
I did improv before.
Improv.
But that was like a million years ago.
What's better, sketch comedy or improv comedy?
Oh. I don't know.
What's better, stand-up?
Can I say stand-up is better?
Yeah.
Because that wasn't
you can
one
totally
of my options.
That.
Stand-up's better than improv.
Oh, God.
That
God.
Was my next one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I was building like a little like tournament stand-up. Of 64... You know, March Madness type situation, but
with less teams.
Yeah, three teams.
Three teams.
Stand up's the best of all of them.
Yeah, I think improv's just kind of annoying. Plus, I sucked at it, so.
So what drew you to stand up?
I don't know. I've just kind of been writing stuff ever since I was a kid. And then, honestly, like, I think everyone says this, but just seeing like lots and lots of shitty comedians on TV.
I can fucking do that.
Yeah, I can do that.
Doesn't everyone say
that? I saw Bennett my first time at open mics here. I was like, dude.
You're like,
and he still crushes every time. I'm still like, dude, how is he crushing? I'm like trying really hard here.
You don't have an accordion or an eye patch.
Yeah.
I thought about just playing like my cell phone for some background music. Just play it through my set. Works for Kevin. I'm just gonna play that. All right. So you did improv, but you thought I'd rather just be on my own.
Yeah, yeah.
And not have to go off the cuff.
Obviously, I'm not quick-witted. So I need stuff that I wrote beforehand. Plus, I work in a hospital, and I see people literally like lying on their deathbed, and I don't want to be that person.
How many of them say, "I wish I'd given stand-up comedy a try"?
So many.
75%
of dying people.
Yeah.
But I really wish I'd gotten over my fear of public speaking.
I said that one.
Now that I stare straight down into the great maw of death, I realize public speaking was a silly thing to be afraid of.
See,
just like that,
huh?
They were there.
I've smothered
people. I've smothered people.
Pillow treatment, that's what we call that.
The old pillow treatment. Yeah, is that real big in the nursing trade?
Yeah.
Just give them a little
bit. Do you write
of
your jokes out? Do you write them out verbatim?
Oh, God, yes.
Do you?
Yes.
I'm the same way.
A lot
of people give me shit about it.
Yeah,
so it's
no,
very
I can't
yeah.
do what people do. I keep saying I'm just going to get on stage one day with nothing, but and then just see how it goes, but nothing would happen.
I've started a couple times really drunk. It doesn't go well.
Storytelling
for me.
Style, though. You know, like, do you find in your writing? Cause,
yeah, it limits me, though, because, like, that's all I can do. And, I mean, so, and, like, each word I pick out, because, like, the way it sounds with, like, the next word, and, like, I have to practice it and get the muscle memory with, like, each single word, and it limits me.
That's pretty
you know?
Cool, though, to a degree to have,
know.
Like, I mean, to be thinking about it on that level of breaking it down word to word. So you recently were in a stand-up, was it a contest or a tournament or a death match of some sort?
It was a festival. It was
a comedy festival. A comedy festival.
And then the stand-up competition was part of that festival.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And where was that?
Sacramento.
Oh, you see? Hitting
the
coast.
Yeah, she's hitting the coast.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was rad. It was nice to have like an older audience that was there to see comedy.
Now, how did you get involved in that?
I just applied.
Yeah. Are you saying that the college kids that come to the open mics in Fort Collins are not your target demographic?
Yeah, no, not so much.
Because my jokes about being married and having children,
yeah.
I felt have gone over really well.
I know, right?
With the 18 to 20-year-olds.
Wouldn't it be nice to hit, like, the menopausal set?
Yeah.
Well, no, you're younger than the menopausal set, but...
Well, I have kids, though. You know?
Yeah. And like, we should start a thing at the Maya Cove.
Like, older...
Because I think that...
Over
like,
30 comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry, Nick.
30-plus
comedy.
Come
back in 4 years after your little...
Do you know
state.
How jaded I'm going to be at, you know...
If it fails
whenever people find out how young I am, they're always like, oh, wow, I had you picked for older. And it's... When I was younger, it was cooler... And now I'm just really afraid of what I'm going to look like when I'm like 35. You know? Like, they're like, oh, I had you. I would have put you. I thought you were 30. I'm not 30.
Halfway there. I'm barely halfway there.
I'm approaching.
Through your 20s. That's how you measure it.
Yeah, I'm in my mid 20s. And they're like, oh. Oh. I'm sorry. I go, I'm too.
Yeah, I appreciate your empathy.
Thank you. It's been a long, hard road. Thank you.
So stand up for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
How long till your first Comedy Central special? I think is just give people an idea of the like the timeline.
Maybe just another 2 years.
2 years.
Just
okay.
Okay.
Two more.
I'm
cool.
Halfway there.
Can
I'm
I open?
Exactly halfway there. You know.
Can I open? Because you guys will obviously be done by then.
Of course.
So
of course.
You won't feel obligated to have Miles come
find
open.
Somebody better. Obviously.
To open?
No, but
to anything.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Just to hold my dog. To hold the dog. Hold Chachi.
Yeah.
Find a new guy to hold Chachi.
I don't know. Miles is holding Chachi really well.
Chachi loves Miles so much.
All right, so let's talk about Miles for a minute.
Sure.
No.
How did you guys first, where did the attraction, like, where was the spark? Was it at open mic comedy? Because there's a lot of magic on those nights.
There is so much magic. Happening.
Was it Pateros that did it? Was that the room that, you know?
I don't know. This is the story that I tell. I was horrified by Miles the first couple times I saw him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I, both times, like, I had to follow him, like, well, he wasn't there my first time, but I had to follow him, like my second and third time, I had to follow him.
Oh, so who was the host that night? Maybe we should...
Bob.
Yeah.
Best man at the future, whatever ceremony you choose to have.
Yeah.
Whatever hippie ceremony you guys are going to have. You guys are definitely like, you know, you're out there.
Both of you. Some weirdos.
Well, yeah,
I imagine
German,
Miles
though.
Was like, you're like... There's this guy screaming about killing
himself.
Well, because
it was still no food.
It doesn't eat meat. Doesn't eat chicken broth. It doesn't eat chicken broth.
It's angry vegetarian.
It was still notebook days, and he picked his nose the one time, and I was like, oh my god. And then, all right, he swears he didn't rub it on the microphone, but still, I had to like touch it, and I was like, oh my god.
So because of the
it was kind of a weird start then.
Very weird.
When was it that you were I really like that guy who keeps screaming about suicide?
Yes.
And picking
and
his
he
nose.
Walked into Yum Yum's in his suit and the Hetfield stash.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy ass.
You're I'd smitten. Let him go down on me anytime with that mustache.
You're smitten,
Totally.
That's what it was. Look at that. Now he's just got the goatee. How do you feel about the goatee now?
It's awful.
No, not you. Obviously, you like it. You're rocking it.
Chris, are you making him wear this goatee against his will?
Yes, I do. I control everything he does.
How much dictation over his facial hair do 100%. You exercise? Yeah?
100%.
Now grow me a goatee, Miles!
Get some mustache wax. She just makes him do.
Yeah.
Eccentric facial hair.
And the rest of us are like, we've seen Miles facial hair lately.
It's great.
I get Chris is making him do it. It's Chris. Oh. It's all Chris. Like, poor Miles.
I want him to
I'm
have
just
like
warn
the
you.
Really, you know, like just around the jawline.
Oh wow.
Just around the jawline.
The community will come after you if you make him do.
Don't
with cross
Miles.
The line.
Don't
cross
Miles. With Miles.
Do not cross the line.
He's to be respected.
So who struck the first conversation up?
I said good set.
Good set. That's proper comedic flirting.
10. Yeah.
Good set. Good
I
set, lady.
I criticized her for something.
Yeah. Make fun of her. You have to.
Yeah. No, you gotta...
Like, if you weren't so fat up there, it would have been a great set, but good set. She's like, damn, who's that guy? Said I had a good set.
Inflate their ego a little bit, tear them down, and then throw down ninja smoke.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely.
Is that how women like to be approached and... stand-up comedy settings, Chris?
It's pretty close to the truth, I think. Yeah.
So, what did you say to him when he said good set? Thanks?
You want to
come over to my apartment later?
No.
Was it one of those?
You like, no, it wasn't. Did you tell him it wasn't?
Well, yeah, because you have to be a humble comedian and say, no, it was awful, and it was the worst thing ever, but thank you anyway for saying nice things.
So,
you know,
you are an incredibly humble comic. How much of that is a well-constructed lie? Do you really
on a percentage
know,
scale.
Do you really know
like
that you
10.
Are just the shit, and so it causes you to be, like, very polite and demure and...
Maybe.
I mean, you know how comedy is. We don't like to rank people.
yeah,
but
sure.
We've definitely ranked you in the, you know, female comedic scale. And so without giving away that ranking, we're just saying, how does it feel to be so awesome? You know, just as a comic in general.
Oh, you guys suck. This is so uncomfortable.
I mean, this is just real talk.
Welcome to the Jeter Tour.
Know, right?
It's the Jeter Tour.
How many
way
comedians are like, well, you know, it's awesome being awesome, and no.
Oh, we've met a couple.
For real?
There are a few out there.
There are a few floating around.
Wow.
And, well, so how do you, I mean, that's a fascinating thing, and it's kind of an open question to all three of you, because it's like, stand-up is sort of this thing where you're constantly building yourself up to be torn down. When it goes really well, you're like, okay, keep a cool head.
Right.
It's such a weird paradox that you have to achieve the pH level, if you will.
Right.
Of
the
trying
correct
to keep
pH
it,
level.
Trying to keep it balanced so that you still have
sure balance
the confidence and drive to go out and
yeah
do it, but then so you don't, like, think, oh, I fucking rock, you know?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah, it's a weird fucking duality
yeah
thing.
Yeah.
Where you're constantly fighting. Like, oh, no, that was pretty goddamn terrible.
Yeah, you're only as good as your last set, right?
Well, I think it's something, I mean, like, in my head, it's a joke's never done. Like, you never tell it. There's always,
yeah,
like, oh, it went really well that time, but...
But it could be better.
Yeah.
It could be better, it could be worse, but it's always going to be whatever it is in the moment. Like, that's what I think I'm... Because for
yeah
people like us that are scripted,
too,
you know, we're so scripted.
Yeah.
The joke's only going to go over so well. And I think where I'm at in year, entering year two, is, like, trying to figure out where you can just, like, be natural with it and riff on it a little bit with the crowd. Like, really having that comfortability. Like, I'm comfortable telling the joke, almost like, or you know, like, giving a speech type
mm-hmm
thing. But you look at people like, and we've talked about it a lot, but people who can really do crowd work.
Yeah.
And on the other end of the
like
spectrum,
yeah,
the middle ground is the
holy
best.
Shit,
you know, the middle
man
ground. Yeah. He, and Bubas will have...
Bubas and Jack Martin, oh my god.
Yeah.
Dan Jones is
Dan,
great with crowd work, too.
Yeah, you just think of the people who can really interact with the crowd. And you know,
that's the thing, if we don't have a crowd that likes us, we're fucked, because we got to finish out our...
Yeah, you
can
do five. Yeah,
you
do five.
Yeah.
And I think I've committed to bombing. I think that's been my 2015 goal, is like, commit to bombing, dude. Even if they're not laughing, you know, not responding... Just commit to what you've written, because
yeah
I think that makes you better. It makes you
mm-hmm
learn, like, learning that step of, like, between telling a joke and making people laugh. We can all tell a joke, but can you make people laugh? What I feel like in social situations with comedians, and this is what we try to capture on the podcast, is when we get together, dude, I hang out with funny people all the fuck. I'm laughing all the time. But then I watch the same people get on stage and try to do a joke that they've prepared. You know what I mean? So it's like this art of do something that you think is funny, but also be natural with it. It's
right
so it's such a... All right, I'll try to figure this thing out. Let's do. Let's
well,
try
and we forgot to mention Nick Holland is awesome at the crowd work.
Nick is awesome at the crowd. He's also good at not caring, not giving a shit.
Yes,
that's
he
helpful
is oblivious
yes
to what's
yeah
going on
probably
in the room.
Very helpful.
Yeah.
Well, that's another thing, though, that... I think that everybody as a comic feels and confronts where, and you can see it happen to other comics too, and then it's particularly painful.
Oh, when
but
you can
when
start to
it's
see
not
it
good,
others, you can feel it when
and you just
like, oh
want to curl up and die,
yeah
but you still have
yeah
about three
yes
and a half minutes left.
Yes.
You
oh
know?
My God.
And that
yeah
still happens to me.
Does
but
it?
But then, like, but not being committed to a script or something, it's like, well, I'm going to start being a dick to these people. Or
yeah
like, oh,
I think
I'm just going to start behaving really bizarrely.
I think
yeah
the next time it happens to me, I'm going to just be like, well, this ain't going well, guys. I'm going home. I got a kid. And just like walk off out to my car. Like
right
not even wait for
yeah
the host to get up. Just like, this was terrible.
Well, this has been
and I'm not turning it
a
around
regretful experience for everyone.
I gotta
exactly.
I'm sure that a lot of you wish I wasn't on stage right now almost as bad as I do.
That's a great list.
Have a great night.
I wish I wasn't on stage way more than you guys do right now.
Yeah,
more.
It's like,
I'm up here. You're just sitting there. You're
I think I literally
here
have said to the audience at one point, like, you think you're not having fun, you know? And like
this
one
is
of the really
fun
bad ones, like, oh, you think you're not having fun right now? Woo! Let
guys,
me tell you who's not having
did
fun.
Miles, did you see Miles Brook character? Was it at the contest?
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Finals.
It was so
no, was it?
Fucking awesome.
Yeah, I was so sick that night.
It was great.
I was just like, what? Like, just announced the fight.
I know. I was
oh, you guys
sick
were
in
sick
bed. Yeah.
He didn't even
sick
make it.
Yeah.
And
he
I was sick and
there
made it. I was like,
and
I gotta count.
He basically hadn't yet fully gotten.
No.
I was like, I had the full deaf flu thing, and he was earlier in and was doing the documentary thing, so he had to.
I had to, man.
He
I
had
there's
to
no way I could have.
I think I had one of the worst sets I've ever had.
No,
ever.
You did not. But he did. He broke character. He just like ripped into this one. Didn't rip into her, but oh my god, it was so funny and awesome. And you should do that all the time.
Well, that's kind of the thing is that when you do see people that are like scripted comics or
yeah
or something like, when they do leave the script, go off script, a lot of times it's like, oh, holy shit.
I think the best ones, you don't know when they leave script. I think that's what I'm learning by watching professionals. It's like, Dane Cook's special, we just watched it this week. And I think he left script maybe once.
Yes,
but I couldn't really tell.
We watched Dane Cook's new special. Okay? Just be did that. Yeah. You know why? Because the guy is a worker. He's been at it for a long time. It was for a while.
I watched him just to
trendy
learn to watch how
to
they
hate
do
Dane
their
Cook.
Shit.
I liked his first
special. I remember when he first came out and I liked him and then it was like then I got more into comedy.
Yeah.
And it was like, we're supposed to hate him. Yeah. Okay, then fuck that guy.
Yeah.
And,
Well, the last special of his I saw, all he did was talk about, like, going down on a chick. And it's like, that's fine. But, really? Like, I don't know.
I found it astounding how
much
trouble.
A lot of people
didn't
like that. That's what was so aggravating.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think
it's
very,
like,
just been done to death. I mean, and he's supposed to be like a pro and like.
I find it aggravating how confusing Cunnilingus is to stand-up comics. I'm always like, wow, there's so much material on how difficult or difficult
it is.
Go down there, pay attention to it. And it's like, but it's like if.
I have a set have written about that very thing, and I don't want to do it if there's people out talking about it, because then I'll feel like an asshole.
Right? Once I did a joke where I was like, I did a set about how sometimes comics went to open mic nights and hoped to pick up women, and one of our comedy friends came up to me afterward, because I was like, it's stupid, because like, I'm up here, I'm trying to be an asshole. And I'm telling things, so it's like, A, if you are attracted to me in this setting right now, it's not a great sign. I question your taste, you know? And so I was like, so I did this thing about how silly it was, and one of our comedy friends came up and was like, don't do that. And I could tell that I'd struck a chord. And I was like, sorry. I just think it's silly as shit.
You've been scolded a lot in your...
Oh, yeah.
Have you been scolded at all? Have you ever been approached after a show that somebody... You offended somebody or anything?
No.
Nothing. Huh? Have you?
Yeah.
They're too afraid of Miles.
if it has happened,
like, he offended
I
me, but he's probably
going to
kill himself tonight, so...
Yeah, I've been reprimanded in stand-up comedy so many times.
I've actually seen it a couple of times.
Yeah.
I had my second weird interaction about some Jesus jokes
specifically
this
one time
week
one
from another
coming
comedian.
Up to you
the
saying,
second time.
Don't
from
do
another
that.
Comedian.
Huh.
Like, oh, yeah.
There are
See,
women
I'm not
in the
awesome
audience.
Yet.
Don't do that.
I don't think it's awesome.
No, I think that's
right.
Pretty cool, actually.
Well, in both times, literally both times, I did not feel like I did the joke. I felt shitty about it. So it's like almost like piling on. It's like, yeah, but you don't get the joke. I didn't tell the joke good. So you know, like, yeah, but if I told it right, you might like it.
If
as a
it had
Jesus
landed,
person.
You wouldn't be.
Right,
like, exactly. We wouldn't
You'd
be having
more
this
on the fence about
landed,
it
yeah.
if the joke went well. But I did terrible at it. You know? So it just adds on to being drunk, telling the joke bad. And then have somebody be offended about it. Like, you're offended by my worst version of the joke.
Maybe next time you shouldn't tell an offensive joke. Maybe that would that'd be helpful.
Says the guy who hangs himself masturbating in his jokes.
Right? Well, I find it funny because actually I developed a persona to where civilians never approach me or reprimand me, but...
But they
comics,
don't.
And the comics who are in charge or this or that
will be pissed.
Are very edgy towards me. And that's
really?
Been a thing where, and having done it and having improv experience as well and theater experience.
I think they don't know how to interact
really,
with you.
Really, the appeal of stand-up being that it's such an open or free form, theoretically... Yet it also has such rigid conventions that people follow religiously. And so part of the whole reason I kind of stepping away from stand-up, for the time being at least, you know, it's like who knows if you ever quit or just you take some time off. But is there have been so many times when I've been like, well, fuck stand-up. Like, you know, I've been like, this is like, This is the silliest shit because of the fact that theoretically, as a form, I should be able to do anything.
Anything you want, yeah.
Anything I fucking want. And then when people come and, like, are like, yeah, but, you know, you really should have.
See, I'm more capitalistic about it. I think that you should discover your terrible on your own. Like, if it's an if it's a true open mic, ain't nobody get up and do whatever shit you want. I'm not gonna like everybody's shit. Like, I just don't. Right. I don't like everybody's stuff. But I also respect anybody who gets up on stage and tries to do what they're trying to. I'm like, good for them. I don't like it.
Right, but
it's not for me. But good for them. Yeah. They're trying to do it. Their work. And if I see them working at it, you know what I mean?
It's very subjective.
Well, thing. I mean, it's look at it.
I would
too.
Never like, you can't do this or this.
A lot
like,
of times when people have told me that too, it's been, in a way, it's pissed me off a little bit. But it's also like, oh, thank God, because I hate that person's comedy. And so I'm glad
yeah.
that it's mutual.
I think the backhanded compliments are worse.
As I have a really, like...
Yeah, good set, but, you know, I wouldn't do so many Jesus jokes, you know. I'm
yeah,
pretty
but it's
religious.
Like,
it's
well,
offensive.
It's a good thing.
Like, no.
I think Miles saw this. This was a couple summers ago, and it was kind of gnarly. It was the first summer of Pateros, and I kind of ripped into this woman because she talked during Captain Jason's set. And I wound up, like, sitting on her table, telling her to shut her fucking mouth for, like, about 17 minutes.
Yeah.
And she came up to me afterwards at some point, while the rest of the show is still happening, and she was like, just so you know, I'm here on vacation, and sometimes at home, I do stand-up comedy, and I just wanted to tell you that, I don't really think what you did was funny, and I would never have done something like that.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, that's so interesting, because it was hilarious to me. And I had a good time, and I think I could really see myself continuing to do shit like this. A lot.
That's awesome.
So have a great night.
So
and
you've
kind of
reached
like
Louis C.K. status, because I think he didn't have an episode like that where he just ripped into this lady and then they like got into it after the show.
Oh yeah, well and people
banged her? I think that was the episode.
No, he's going to. He's
no Todd Berry says
hey
you could have
gone home
done.
With her
yeah.
And he's like, fuck really? But yeah, but they got into it after the show.
Well yeah, I was like and to me though it's like there is something about because like again having done a lot of theater and then having done improv where all of the interaction is so cheesy.
Yeah.
I think as two people that have improv experience and having done it, it's like, what is one of my least favorite things about improv? Oh, I don't know. Maybe matching t-shirts or explaining the game that you're about to play. You know, like all the shit that made Whose Line Is It Anyway entertaining when I was in elementary school.
I
don't
know.
And then pissed me off when I was doing improv and somebody would be like, all right, our next game is called Alphabet. You're going to see two of our improvers. And, you know, we're all wearing t-shirts that would say the same fucking thing. And so it was like the interaction there was so damn fake.
Yeah.
And then, to me, stand-up is really this opportunity for real interaction.
That's the quest, right? Yeah. It's like you have some jokes that you've written, but you still want it to be natural. You want to interact with people.
And well, and even with
fuck
you guys,
natural.
Even
you,
you
want to be natural?
No, fuck no.
Miles is a clever structured facade. Of,
no,
my stand up, I would say
we've covered Miles. writing, you know,
we've listen back, folks. But it's like for you guys writing things verbatim, it's still like you very much have a theme and an idea and a story to express to people, and then you're going up there alone on stage. Without any props or action or this or that.
You don't have to worry
and
what other people are going to do.
You're presenting it to people. Yeah. And it's like, too, like, really good stand-up feels like a conversation. Yet it isn't. You know, like, a lot of, I mean.
Yeah, you said that after we saw Louis at Red Rocks.
Yeah.
Was that, he was
it's
very.
In Red Rocks. A giant.
Of people.
Yeah, thousands of people. He's so far away. And there was something still so easy and conversational about it that it felt natural. You had no idea how much of it, it could have all verbatim been written down, or he could have, like, scratched a couple funny ideas down on a napkin. No ability to tell.
Yeah, you can't
and
tell.
And the fact that he was so engaging that he went on for an hour. I just listened to a guy talk for an hour. You know, and it's like, I just listen to a guy talk for an hour. And
well, these guys
no
crank
point,
out a new hour every year. A new hour?
Yeah.
At no point was my attention like wandering, or I was twiddling my thumbs, or I was like, when is this class going to be over? You know? Yeah. And it's like, how the fuck did he do that?
Well, Ari Shaffir just released his new special on Comedy Works, and then we saw him at on Comedy Central. So I'm at Comedy Works last night. It's like a completely new hour. I was like, how the fuck do you come up with like multiple hours?
Also, that's their job. They don't have a 40-hour a week. They literally are at comedy clubs every
night. Have you guys thought about that?
They're writing good shit.
What if my job was to sit and write? Or what if my job was
I don't know
to
if
be
I could handle
comic?
It.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would just sit around and eat. Yeah, I would just sit around and drink all day.
Yeah.
Watch TV, write a few jokes down.
Wouldn't be that different from the weekend.
Right, exactly.
But your entire life would
I
be a weekend.
I blow up writing all the time.
Yeah, life would be one giant weekend.
I always picture my perfect weekend of just drinking coffee and writing. And like, you know, and then it
getting
doesn't
all
happen.
Funny.
Yeah.
I'm going to get funny this weekend.
I'm going to be so clever this weekend.
I love those when you really, like, I'm going to shoot Saturday night. I'm going to plan 2 hours. I'm going to write some comedy. I'm going to be funny.
And
then I'm gonna go try it on Hody's. Yeah, and then you watch somebody special, you're like, damn it, dude.
Yeah.
They're so good.
I'm just gonna watch another episode of Key and Peele to get inspired. To get inspired. And then.
Do you watch that show?
Mm-hmm.
I do. You don't like it?
I can't.
That's right. I recall that. I've been watching those guys, though. It's funny because I've been watching those guys since they were doing Mad TV together. And so that's kind of like a fascinating thing, because you watch them as like young comics, and then
you see
know,
the progression
TV
a little bit.
Just
you're
went
like,
away,
I get it.
And now this time it's like you stored them in like a time capsule. And to me, a lot of the stuff they, you know, a lot of their conceits and everything, I really enjoy. Why do you not like Key and Peele?
I feel like they rely too much on physical comedy.
I see, and I love physical comedy.
I like it. I mean, there's people, Steve Martin.
Fuck Steve Martin.
Just
edit that.
Yeah.
Fuck Steve
Martin. That's the title.
I'm the most awful comedian ever. Fuck Steve Martin.
People are gonna have to click on that one. They're like, they just named it. Fuck Steve Martin.
Love Steve Martin. I don't know. I like physical comedy, but like when you rely on it, and the audience eats it up. Though that's the thing. When stuff isn't funny, but people are up there like, oh hey, and then there people laugh at that.
See, and
it drives me.
That's
banana.
A funny thing.
Kind of like
actually,
an accordion. Like
that's a funny thing that I've actually taken a lot of flack for is because I consider myself a very physical performer in terms of stand up. And some people,
it's part
to
of
some
your
people,
thing.
It's
natural. It's not distracting from the actual content.
But there is this
plus
attitude
you don't write
some of the
your
times
joke.
For physicality.
You don't write
I don't.
Down.
I don't write anything
like,
down. I show up.
It's
and think,
funny when somebody chokes somebody out as a wrestler. I'm gonna go do that as a bit, and it turns into like a 7-minute bit that you have not written anything.
No words.
But it's like completely almost improvish, like where you do this thing and you riff on
it. Well, you're like acting out your story.
And you
like
wait,
natural.
You force people to laugh by the end. It's a
terrible
special
eyes.
Gift. Yeah.
These terrible eyes
like,
that I was blessed
we're
going to
laugh. He might murder us if we don't laugh.
Yeah, that's them right there.
Yeah. I saw my dad earlier today, and it's funny because he always talks about how my little brother can get away with doing and saying way more in public places than my father and I can, because Dustin is kind of like tall and lanky and a little bit goofy and has this like sort of cherubic innocence on his face, and that my father and I, our faces have none of that. And that we look,
you are a bit axe murderer,
very much aggressive all the time,
get that look going,
because if I say something crazy or obscene in public to get a rise out of people, generally, I look to make eye contact with whoever, you know, I said it to. Like, we were walking past an old couple, and I said, today in Old Town Fort Collins, it was this nice elderly couple crossing the street. They passed my father and I turned to him, and I say really loud, and it's like a busy crosswalk, and I say, man, we could have kicked the shit out of that old couple, huh? And my dad was like, well, definitely the lady, but not the guy. I don't know about the guy.
So
like,
at
we
your dad's age, he's still gauging whether he can take another old man on.
No, we just like were just having fun out in public, you know. My my brother did this thing once where he was we were getting breakfast and he looked at something in my dad's plate and he says real loud in like a stage voice, you know, so that other people can hear. And he goes, "Oh, that looks good. Can I try some?" And then he just reaches with his hand and just grabs it off the plate and like a lingering touch off of my dad's plate. And so, but he gets away with it in this way because it's like, is this kid dumb? And whereas like, whereas my dad and I do it and it's like, that guy is being confrontational for absolutely no reason other than that it's funny to him. And it's like, I'm sorry, you know, I can't, everybody always thinks, once, this is funny, a psychologist told me that when meeting women, I shouldn't tell them that I'm an actor initially because people distrust actors because they assume that you just be a better liar. And A, I thought it was hilarious that a psychologist was telling me to start out with deceit, you know, to just like omit the truth so that people wouldn't think I was a liar. And then also, though, it made me really think, and it's like, no, most actors are terrible liars. Like, all of the, you can see exactly on their face what they're thinking or feeling, you know? They're really good at pretending, putting themselves in, like, a set of given circumstances. When an actor is sad, oh, my God, the absolute worst at pretending to be happy, you know? Hey, guys. Hi, how's everybody? Everybody having a great day? Me? Yeah, great.
This
weekend.
Is Nick's hosting voice, by the way. This is how he hosts the
bad,
show.
Nothing bad.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Is everybody having a good day today?
Hey, how's everybody been? Are you guys ready for some
what happened
stand-up
to the
comedy
shows?
Dried up. We decided not to. It was kind of like a...
It was like a mutual non-contact.
They didn't call us, and we didn't call them.
Okay.
You know, it's like one of those nice relationships where
God, that was
it
fun.
Just fizzles quietly.
That was a good time.
And it's just like, well, we had a...
It's like the best breakup. It was kind of like, hey, see you in the new year, maybe.
Hey, yeah.
Or not.
Have
good
a,
luck.
Have a good one.
If we don't see each other again.
You're a great person. I want the best for you.
Yeah.
You're a great company. And I'd like the best for you.
And
I'm not going to be around.
The same for us. We hope the best for their sandwiches. Is there a Chiba Hut in Durango, Colorado?
Not yet. Maybe I could open
Start
up a
one.
Franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the door's not closed. The door's not closed.
Make sandwiches.
That needs to be clear.
Do some comedy. Do comedy while I'm making sandwiches. Promise some future ahead.
All right, I want to ask Chris about her character. Did Miles get you into character work, or is this...
No, not at all. In fact, when you asked how I got into comedy and I didn't know what else to say, I was just thinking, no, I, what was I going to say?
Well, you did a character...
Oh, I know. No, I,
at Hody's this week.
Well, the reason I actually started doing stand-up when I did is because I was actually going to go out and try out for the Growlings. And I just hadn't done improv in, like, 10 years. So I wanted something. Like, I didn't want to do, like... And I know Groundlings is improv, blah, blah, blah. But I didn't want to practice with improv. I just wanted to do some crowd something, you know?
Right.
Well, and Groundlings is kind of cool improv. I mean, there's
a lot
of...
Well, it's the thing.
Cool,
they're, like, way more character-driven.
Kirsten Wiig, Pee Wee Herman
everyone.
Was invented in the Groundlings.
Yeah, the Geico lady. Stifler's mom. Phoebe.
It's long-form improv.
But they're, Melissa McCarthy. That was another thing I did. I had just seen, what is it? This is 40 or whatever? And Melissa McCarthy went off on this rant, like, at the end of it. It was, like, an extra, and it was so fucking fun. I was thinking about just trying out for the ground. Just to say that I did it, you know? So I've always been doing characters, and I'm just obsessed with SNL. I mean, I've been watching it almost, like, since day one.
So you still
That's
watch
how old
it?
I am.
You,
fuck yeah.
Yeah?
It's good now.
Actually,
it goes through phases.
Pretty damn good.
But no, I'm kind of like SNL is so just not even on like anything that would ever happen to me ever. So I'm just gonna do my own fucking sketches, and that's like where my character things come from. And it's funny, like, are you talking about the dildo lady?
Yeah, the
I know,
old
everyone,
married lady.
Yeah, that is the very first one. That's the very first thing I ever wrote in stand-up. And I've just been too afraid to do it.
I've never seen you until I walked in like halfway through your set, and I was like, oh. Yeah.
That's what I did.
You're doing a character. That was great. That was really good.
I remember the all-female comics that was at the same character.
Yeah, that's the same one. And that's the bit that I did last night. And it's the first thing I ever wrote.
I think your parents were in the room seeing it.
My mom and my stepdad. But I know, it starts out where I'm, like, putting my water on the stool, and it has to be lined up, and everyone's like, oh, she's just, like, Miles. And it's like, no, that's OCD. Miles is awkward. It's two different, like...
awkward psychotic. Let's make sure...
driven from two different things.
Is in there.
But on itself, it's somewhat character-y. I mean, not as extreme as that,
And I guess this is... so what I thought a lot about in my own comedy is, like, how much of what I do on stage is a character, you know?
Yeah.
So... And Nick and I have talked a lot about this, like, and are just, like, you know, talks about, like, what is comedy, and is it a character of yourself?
Yeah, exactly.
Or is it a character, or is it, like, truly yourself? And I don't think it's ever truly yourself, because then you're always on. It's a caricature, right?
Yeah.
So, what I did early on was try to, like, I tried to figure out how people see me in my day-to-day, right? Mm-hmm. And then a lot of what I've been doing since then is a caricature of that. So, you know, and that's I think that's where I'm at in comedy is, like, I just want to be a caricature of myself.
Hmm. Well, and that becomes an interesting part of the simulated conversation to it. Because if you are assuming, taking an educated guess at what the audience sees when they look at you, and you're incorporating that into, so in a way you're kind of responding
right
to whatever their initial response is to you, and so it
one of the things
simulates a deeper relationship, you know.
One of the things I open up with is making fun of my comb over. I'm like, so I'm an accountant, I know, big surprise because of the comb over. It's like, it's a caricature. Like, oh yeah, of course this dude does accounting work, look at that fucking part in his hair, of course he does. Oh, and he has a kid? Big shock. You know,
big
little doughy around here? Really? He's been married for 10 years? I would never have guessed that.
Well, is
so
that,
it's like trying to anticipate how the crowd sees you. Or...
is that a character? No, or
it's a
is
caricature.
That of yourself?
Yeah, it's of myself.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think it's like you crank up some of the dials and knobs, and it gives you a lot of freedom to do a lot of
Miles
shit.
Miles really cranks
otherwise
up some aspects.
Do
but I definitely think... I think this of any comic, really... not just Miles, I think that's why, I think why everybody appreciates Miles, is like, he'll amp up Miles to the, you know, he amps
to
it
the nth
way
degree.
The fuck up.
Well, really.
And that's what's funny, is like, he's amping this thing up, you know what I mean?
Well, and we're talking about kind of, we were talking about it last week's episode with the story swap and everything, and how I went, and I, the lyric does this cool thing. Listen to last week's episode, guys.
Lindstrom?
No, the lyric.
Oh, the lyric. Okay.
The lyric, cinema and theater. And
okay.
But so, I went. I told this story about shitting my pants at lunchtime, and everybody else afterwards was a little bit loosened up. And I think that Miles, to an interesting degree, for the sake of all of the performers as well, it's like the amount of risk you take and the willingness that you have to throw yourself down on the tracks is inspiring to see as another comic. Because it's so much, it's like, you know, sometimes it borders a little bit on being a glutton for punishment, you know, the degree, but it's the degree to which you are bonded with that character and like, yeah, I'm doing this. I'm doing this for all 5 minutes. And you guys can be terrified, you guys can get it, you guys can be entertained, whatever, but I have absolute and utter commitment to it.
Let me ask Miles. This made me think of a question. Do you have times where you get off stage and you feel like, oh, that went really well, and then times where you feel like it went really bad? Because every time I've talked to you after you got off stage, it always feels like you feel like it went really bad.
Yeah.
Like
every single time. Every single time.
But
and there
do
are
you,
definitely better times than others.
So you've had better times.
But yeah, no. I'm
but you're never like that was fucking awesome.
Never ever.
Never ever.
That might have happened once
or
twice.
Once or twice, right?
Yeah.
Because we all have an idea in our head of like, oh, here's how I want it to go. And the perfect alignment is like, it went how I wanted to. I did the material how I wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. And then the crowd responded
the way you wanted them.
Yeah, like, that was perfect. That was it.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't happen for anybody. But it's good to hear
where
that it does happen.
Where were your headsets? Do you, like, Hoodies or other places?
I think there was one at Patero's and one at Yum Yum's.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that sums it up.
There was one here and one.
Well, let me
that's
tell you this: we went
the
down.
The rest has been an abomination.
Miles did a one-liner show, and he didn't even know it was a contest, and he didn't win. Oh, he didn't win the whole big thing. But the night that we went down, for he didn't even know it was a contest, and he fucking won it. And I thought that was awesome. And even that night, he's like, "Oh, it sucked." He won it.
Well, it's that interesting thing we were talking about earlier too, where it's like you got to keep lashing yourself to want to get better, and so if you ever just rest on your laurels and you're like, hey, I'm a great stand-up comic,
that was great. That's
anytime you start thinking, hey, I know what I'm doing, like reality punches you in the face.
Yeah, that's says, true.
Sometimes the nats.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I cannot handle any comedian that has any sort of attitude, like, whatsoever.
What do you, entitled attitude, kind of?
Yeah.
Or,
any of the comics that get up there and are just so fucking, I mean, you have to have some confidence to get up on stage, but any that are just, like way overconfident, it's so disgusting, and it grosses me out, and I don't listen to anything they have to say.
I've seen certain comics that have given off the impression that they felt they were owed or entitled to a certain degree of laughter.
Yeah.
And that is something that is super off-putting to me.
I mean, I feel like that every week.
You
guys owe me some laughter. That joke was great.
It's like, you can feel like it, or you can... there's all sorts of weird reasons and compulsions and attitudes of people.
I think I just like depressed comedians. I mean, like, again, look at Louis C.K. I keep going to him just because I love it. I mean, he's obviously confident enough to do an hour show. He's the fucking shit. But still, he's, like, down on himself, and he's not... Just in general, he's not a confident person, like, in general.
Well, and it's funny because...
I think he's very honest about himself.
Yeah, which is great.
Well, and self-effacing.
Honest about his insecurities.
Yeah, self-effacing.
Yeah.
You know, which is...
makes
even
him real.
Slightly everybody. Different than self-deprecating, you know? And there's a very interesting, fuzzy line. Mm-hmm. And so it's like...
Self-effacing seems to be more popular with normal people.
Yeah, well, I think
Well,
because everybody feels bad about themselves. Everybody does. Yeah. It's but, not like, a comic.
There's
people
more
get on the side of...
Self-deprecating is like, I am worse than you. Yeah. And self-effacing is like, I have these problems and I'm working on them and I'm just a human being. Hey, guys. You know,
but he also doesn't feel bad for trying hard.
And
I think that's the other thing. Like, you can try hard, but also recognize your deficiencies, you know?
Or you can, you know, string yourself up on the cross. Like certain people.
Wait. Who are we talking about?
I was talking about Miles.
Jesus Christ?
Oh. Miles Christ.
Aww. Miles Christ.
Oh, God. I'm going to get hate mail for that one.
Good! Yes!
Oh, all the hate, if it makes you feel any better.
It all goes to
your answer
inbox,
@gmail.com. is where you can send any mail.
Birdmania.
Any email. Beer Banter.
Beer and
Hour.
Oh.
Or something. Just try it all.
All
right. Yeah.
No, not Gmail.
Fuck him. Yeah.
Yeah, fuck that, yeah.
I hate that guy.
We all do.
I mean, he was over here. He and I babysat your child last night.
I entrusted him with watching my kid last night. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he and I watched each other watching your child. And so it was kind of this, like, double fail-safe
thing. Make sure you don't kill him.
Yeah. The instant you guys shut the door, I was like, okay, now we go wake him up. And he was like, what do we do with him? And I was like, we just make sure he stays awake.
Yeah, and alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so do you take the dog with you wherever you go? It's like a Paris Hilton type thing?
No,
or?
And I did. I wanted to tell you that because that was the thing.
Purse.
My pit bull died in August.
Aww.
And I'm not a little dog person. I'm not a bring my dog. I just wanted a play date for him. That's all.
Hey, yeah. Because
I bring him to the dog park.
We should get play dates with Gus.
Gus the perv. Loved it.
Look, here's what this dog and my dog have in common. Both of them have tails
that curl up.
That just let their butthole, like, roam free in the air.
Shine.
Yeah.
And also,
and so they both just want to sniff buttholes.
They're about the same size. Yeah. I think they're alarmed at seeing each other.
Like,
just
face to face?
Yeah, they're like, what?
It's really weird to see two boy dogs just sniffing each other's assholes. Yes. Just like, hey, bro.
Gotten real desensitized towards him with Gus.
Can I just put my nose, like, directly up against your butthole because your tail's up? Let me just press that right up.
Well, Gus's face is so flat, too, that
I think
it's
that would
like
be scary.
Well, his butthole is always moist, too. That's what's weird. It's always just moist. It's it never gets chapped or anything.
And you like know if this how?
I can see it. His tail's out. Yeah.
Just a luscious butthole.
Just a shiny butthole.
As far as dog anuses go.
I mean, I understand getting the random glimpse, but like that's
tail
some,
is curled up.
That's some stuff.
Let me tell you something, Miles. If a butthole is just like roaming around your living room, you're gonna look at it like it's hard not to look at it.
No, yeah. No, this guy will put it in his in my face, and
see,
I'm Chachi's still kind of like,
yeah,
not
really
gonna.
It's really kind of cute. It's tight and pink.
Is it black? It's pink.
No, it's pink and it's got.
See, some dogs have that
hair.
Real black, real black
yeah.
butthole. That's what you gotta look out for. Those the dogs from the trailer park.
To get turned on, so can we move the conversation elsewhere?
To dog butt? Or from dog buttholes.
Yeah. From dog buttholes. I wonder what the pH of the average dog butthole is.
All right, well, let's. One last question
okay.
for our guest. Where are we going, Chris, with comedy?
Oh, God, nowhere.
What are we doing with it?
I don't know. I'd like to do a couple more festivals.
Stand up? So you're still
yeah.
going to stand up? Like, that's the.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean,
that's
where
the
else
outlet.
Is there
do
to
you
go?
See
where
yourself increasing. The characters and everything, like, do you
know.
See yourself going more with it? Because again, that's an interesting thing where
yeah.
it's like pushing the envelope
yeah.
of stand-up a little bit, because it's almost like, you know, if you were in LA or something,
yeah.
there'd be like venues where people just did monologues as characters all the
yeah.
time, and you could go.
Yeah. See, that's
see
the thing.
I think
for
know?
Everybody, it would be just so much better to be in a big city because you find your audience, you find. Places where your audience is going to be, and you go to the. I mean, what are you going to do in Fort Collins?
Yeah,
know?
We have two
open
mics that we do regularly. You know?
I have a mortgage. I have 3 student loans. You know, it's
yeah.
like I don't. What am I going to do?
Yeah, so
you
it's a hobbyish.
I'm old,
until you make a funny
you're
sketch
as young
album
as you feel.
With a group of
yeah.
young comics, and it makes millions
hey,
of dollars.
According to my friends, you're only as old as the person you're sleeping with.
Nice.
So you're like a decade
like
older.
15.
I don't know, 15 years older? Wait. Is that what she was saying? I missed the
I
joke.
I just said I'm fucking a 15-year-old,
basically. Oh,
okay.
This is what's happening.
Mentally or physically?
Yes, all both. No.
Hasn't had puberty
hairless,
yet downstairs? Oh, he's hairless.
Hairless, wow.
Just
wow.
Normal. Look at his face. Look at those dimples. He's so vulnerable.
Oh,
I mean,
he's
so
cute.
Oh,
so
cute. How could we have ever dared to try and pick a fight with him?
He's stupid.
What was I thinking?
Biggest mistake.
What was I thinking when I bullied you into agreeing
yeah.
with that? That actually caused a lot of stress.
In the household. In the Ghostby household.
Yeah,
I definitely
like,
saw it on his face.
Yeah.
I definitely
yeah,
saw
for about 6 weeks.
And
I
was just like,
do
it let it ride.
A lot of new people I just met hate me already because
it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
it was definitely a lot of fun.
Miles and I had fun.
I evidently became the face of that.
Hey,
for some reason.
Thanks for joining
why.
Us. Episode 43. We had a good time. Chachi was here. Roommate Will was here.
With his one rosy cheek.
Miles Goatee was here.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole cast was here.
Chachi
and Gus.
We revealed some big news. I feel like we made big steps in all of our relationship tonight. Now Miles is touching my leg.
He almost did. He didn't.
No, his goatee was touching my leg.
Oh. Just briefly.
Wow.
His hand is just an extension of that goatee. If he's like groping a woman, it's just like his goatee groping a woman.
Confirm or deny, Chris? Confirm or deny?
Okay.
Yeah,
he's actually he's
gentle.
She
inhaled really big before she. Oh, he just. Oh, you know, he's just
I'm
really
getting
polite.
A little flustered.
He's just
I'm
really
getting
polite
a little flustered
though,
thinking about it.
What's your favorite band? Oh, God damn it!
Yes.
No, I
so
love
new.
It.
It's so new.
Yeah. We play a lot of Zeppelin.
We play a lot of Zeppelin. No, it's just, we're just saying fuck it. It's like, we're going to play Zeppelin.
How about some Allman Brothers? How about
Allman Brothers? Hell yeah.
Oh,
I love Women's Brothers.
Yeah. Listen, it was just kind of like,
I've been such a fool. I have to stay.